8:46, 14 till 9, chilly Tuesday morning. Tommy Tucker, WWL, thanks for getting your day started with us. We're talking to Christopher Newbert now, who's Deputy Director of the Sweetie Center for Sustainable Food Systems and Research Associate Professor at Arizona State. Thanks for the quarterback, Professor. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I like the way you said that or not. Let's talk about the Farm Bill. What is the Farm Bill? We hear about the Farm Bill, the big Farm Bill. Every 5 years they have the big Farm Bill. Is it a bill? Is it different bills? Take me through this whole thing and how it came to be.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. First, let's start. Calling it a farm bill is sort of a misnomer. This is a massive piece of legislation. It has 12 titles. It covers everything from commodity policy to national nutrition policy. It's where we reauthorize SNAP every 5 years. It includes rural development projects. It includes energy policy. There's a forestry title in there. You've got conservation programs. It's really a large grab bag of programs that are important.
Catch-all? Would you go so far as to call it a catch-all?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a catch-all. It is, you know, it is focused on food and farm policy, but, you know, to say that it is only important to farmers would be incorrect. You know, this is something that touches the lives of every American. You know, basically, if you eat, if you live in a rural community, you know, your life is in some way going to be affected by this farm bill. And since the first one in 1933, they've typically been taken up every 5 years or so. There have been delays in the past. You know, there's always a sticking point or two, but this time has really been unprecedented. It's been 2018 since we passed a farm bill, and it doesn't look like conditions in Congress right now are really such that we will get a farm bill even this year. So they've basically been extending those programs every year since 2023. And, you know, short-term extensions are fine. They keep the programs moving. But when you're talking about, you know, real reform and real updates that are needed to all of these programs within the Farm Bill, it's really not coming along. You can't really accomplish that in a one-year extension that they attach to spending bills at the end of the year.
I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say it doesn't look like progress is going to be very good yet again this year.
So talk about, if you will, the way this has changed since 1933, because I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, my image of farming in 1933 is mom and dad, and maybe you got the sons, and you got maybe the daughters working, doing the ranching, the cooking, the plowing, the fixing the fences or whatever it is. And then they all get together for lunch, and they all show up at the end of the day. Then they bring it to town and blah, blah, blah. That's not the way farming is today, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, in 1933, the very first farm bill were directed toward, you know, emergency relief. It was the Depression. Folks really needed help, and that's what the farm bills were. You know, so over the last, you know, nearly a century, they've really evolved and grown and expanded to embrace a broad coalition and focus really on modern farming practices. Now, what farmers would like to see out of a farm bill, if we're talking specifically about farming, you know, they want programs that help them build markets. They want programs that, you know, really help them be successful out there on the farm today. And what we've got and what we've had for, you know, the last several farm bills are programs that really just provide price support. They're not doing the work of boosting and generating markets and encouraging real innovation on the farm. And, you know, a farmer will tell you the money's great, it gets you through the year, but it's not really a solution to the problem. And right now, without the sort of reform that we can get through a large comprehensive farm bill, it really is just plugging more money into a system that is badly in need of some change. You know, the big, beautiful bill last year just dumped another $60 billion into these programs. There was a $10 billion economic emergency relief package last year. There's the other $12 billion that they are using for tariff relief this year. And it's really a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, farmers will tell you what they'd really like to see is Congress get to work and fix these programs.
Let me take a break. We'll come back. Somebody texted in. We have a feature here where listeners can text in at 504-260-187. We call it the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line and get their thoughts in. Somebody texted and said, you can call it whatever you want. This is nothing but a huge giveaway to giant corporations. You can address that when we come back. We're talking to Christopher Newbert, Deputy Director for the Sweetie Center for Sustainable Food Systems and Research Associate Professor at Arizona State University. He already told us good luck on our new quarterback at LSU. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:57 now, WWL, Tommy Tucker. I like to pop in and give you the time every now and then. We're talking to Christopher Newbert, Deputy Director of the Sweetie Center for Sustainable Food Systems and Research Associate Professor at Arizona State. Professor, to be fair, somebody said we should also thank you for Jaden Daniels, so thank you for that as well. When it comes when it comes to the farm bill, who is the primary beneficiary of this? Somebody texted in before the break and say, call it what you want. It's a huge giveaway to giant corporations. But it gives a lot of things to a lot of different people. Is that accurate or not?
Sure. And it, you know, that's not a characterization that I would necessarily disagree with. But I do think it's important to be clear about how that happens, because it's not like, you know, the federal government is writing a check to Syngenta or Bayer or, you know, the big corporations out there in this space. Yeah, exactly. But what happens is, you know, when these companies are out, if you ask a farmer right now what their biggest complaint is, it's going to be that the cost of herbicides, the cost of fertilizers, the cost of pesticides are all way up. You know, they're incredibly high. They're called their input costs. So, you know, these companies, when they see what Congress does, when they see that, you know, we just pumped $60 billion into this system, the first thing they're going to do is raise those prices. They're going to capture all of that money that we just pumped into the system. So the money, you know, goes directly to the producer. But the producer then is going to have to turn that around and spend it on increased input costs. There's no control on any of those costs. And, you know, these companies are not just going to lower their costs out of the goodness of their hearts. You know, they're driven by profit. They see this money, they're going to get as much of it as they possibly can. So very little of it is actually going to go to assist the farmer's bottom line. And, you know, for the most part, you know, farmers get it. They get the system. This is why they're asking Congress to do some work here and actually reform the farm bill. That said, you know, the largest part of the farm bill is all, you know, nutrition programs. It's SNAP. And those are programs that just took a huge 20% cut in the big, beautiful bill. This is why I think it's unlikely we're going to get a farm bill this year, because the only way you pass one is by having a coalition between farming groups and nutrition advocates. And if, you know, these nutrition folks just absorbed a 20% cut, they're not going to come to the table unless there's some real meaningful effort to pump money back into that system.
Thank you, Professor. A pleasure, and I hope you come back. Christopher Newbert, very enlightening, Deputy Director of the Sweetie Center for Sustainable Food Systems Research and an Associate Professor at Arizona State. We'll talk about the inauguration when we come back.